November the 7th. I am Linda Brewer, and I am your host for this evening. Your comments, your questions, anything you would like to share is welcome. This is your time. I am honored to be here. This call is being recorded, and since I... Okay. I think my little crazy push, whatever that was, is all now corrected. Is there anything anyone would like to share before we do the healing code? Okay, well, let's take a deep breath. And whatever and however you can make yourself as comfortable and relaxed and just being with you in the moment, please do it now. And I would encourage you to notice what you think, how you feel, and if you have an urge that you would like to do something, whatever that might be, and notice how it serves you in love and truth and honor. Again, this is November the 7th, Thursday evening, Healing Codes Q&A. I pray that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, destructive cellular memories, and all physical issues related to whatever your problem or issue is, would be found, opened, and healed by filling, F-I-L-L-I-N-G, you and myself with the light, the life, and the love of God. I also pray that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more, so that your body will know what needs to be healed in priority. Take another deep breath. Both hands bridge. Both hands, Adam's apple. Both hands, jaws. Both hands, temples. Both hands, bridge. both hands Adam's apple. Both hands, jaws. Both hands, temples. Both hands, bridge. Both hands, Adam's apple. Both hands, jaws. Both hands, temples. Taking a deep breath. And noticing how you feel and where you feel that in your body. What you're thinking. And if you have something that you would like to tell someone or share with the group or just speak out loud, now would be the time to do that. Five, four, four, six, Pat, you're unmuted.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you for that code. I'm so glad and grateful that we were able to do that tonight because I did not manage to code today at work. So I needed that.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you for hosting this. I have a situation where I have a seriously ill colleague. He's been out for a couple of weeks, and he's kept us posted with emails, and now it appears that it is truly something serious. I would like to do some concerted coding for him. I'm not sure how to begin or if I should go through the whole the series of categories on his behalf. I don't actually know him that well personally, but I have worked in the unit with him for approximately 4 years. And what I do know about him is he is an amazingly dedicated employee. He takes the work so seriously, and he is always there, just, you know, not messing around or fooling around or trying to get away with anything. Just always so intent on doing a really good job on his job. So I have complete respect for him. And as I say, I don't know him well personally, but anyway.
What is the sickness, Pat?
He does have cancer, it appears.
And where is the cancer?
Well, you know, it's interesting. He was really, I couldn't quite follow it because he mentioned the word lymphoma and he mentioned a testicle. But then he also mentioned getting a brain scan being needed. So I don't quite follow the details of it.
Well, most of the time when someone has cancer in the reproduction organs or whatever, it will travel up the spine into the brain. So, and it's I think, and I believe this, it's common practice in the medical field anytime that someone with any cancerous diagnosis, they start to check on the brain.
Oh.
And so that could be, yes.
Mm-hmm. So he is going to start chemo and possibly radiation pretty soon. He had surgery a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah. Should I just go through the codes? I mean, the categories, or what would you do? I mean, I want to make a concerted effort at this.
Okay. And so let's have a prayer for him.
Mm-hmm.
You, whatever we call it, in my world, it would be spirit,
mm-hmm.
the pure spirit of God, that this gentleman, you know his name, you know his every
well,
need.
Yeah, right.
And that he would be healed of any lies or disbeliefs or negative images about him being a male, and that he would release the pressures off the shoulders by receiving just gentle love flowing through them, and that he would rest, that his spirit knows what he needs, and that the temples would become gentle and soft and let the blood flow through. In every capacity, we ask that his energy of life be returned and that it would flow effortlessly in purity throughout his system. We ask these things for the healing of this gentleman and that he knows peace and he knows truth and love and light. And we add the Adam's apple for a friend and a colleague like Pat who would bring forth him in this light of just pure love, with the intention that the very best is his. Amen.
Amen.
How did that feel for you, Pat?
That's good. I feel the energy. I feel it in my legs somehow.
Yeah.
I always figure that if I feel it anywhere, it's good.
Yes. Well, and the energy is about, the legs are about getting up and moving. And understanding the path before you and what will need to be done to remain in peace and love.
Yeah. Well, one of the things is I've been I'm taking over a lot of his functions at work. A few of them, three of the things he did, I'm now doing. So that's kind of interesting what you said, you know, the legs are doing and, you know, going forward with what you have to do. So on his behalf, I'm doing some of his work. But I'm happy to do it because, frankly, I was not challenged enough. I didn't have enough to do, and I was just doing a lot of busy work. But now the things I'm doing, they really count a lot more. So, I mean, I don't want to take his job from him. I'm ready to retire, to tell you the truth. And I certainly don't want to take his job from him. But on the other hand, I'm not upset with the fact that, you know, I'm doing these tasks while he's out. And I certainly want him to come back and resume it.
And so I would encourage you to change the language like that. I'm blessed to walk in the shoes and be there for him.
Yes.
And trust the process that whatever in love, truth, and light will come forth.
That's right. That's right. It's right. It's right. I am blessed to, you know, be.
It's a blessing and an honor to fill in for someone like that. Yes.
It is. And that's why I take it seriously, because of, you know, how seriously he always took it. You know, I don't want to mess up or fall short of the standards that he had or has. Yeah.
Well, don't take on that responsibility. Make a commitment and an intention that you are going to do the best that you can with your experience and your knowledge. Yeah.
Yes, I am doing my best to do that.
Yes.
And, yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Linda. I really appreciate your work on my friend's behalf and on mine.
Well, we will certainly be remembering both of you. And one conclusion that I have come to, or decision that I've made, there's no mistakes. Watch his hand work, and we will be amazed at how it will materialize. I think just being open to know the truth is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And thank you for being on the call tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. I wouldn't miss it. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know it's a little confusing, so I saw where Thea had announced that Kay would be here, and Kay called me a couple of weeks ago and asked me could I exchange some nights with her. So I appreciate you coming and staying, although I'm not Kay, and I have a deep and profound respect for Kay and her journey and her work. So thank y'all.
Am I still on?
Yes, ma'am, you are. Uh-huh.
Oh, hi, okay. No, I would come no matter who was hosting it. It to me, it's...
okay.
Yeah, it's the healing codes. Of course, I love all of you ladies, but I really need the healing, and I come to the call for that, really, you know, for doing the code together. In love, and then in the dedication that you offer, all of you, you're all wonderful, wonderful hostesses.
And I shared with Candace last week, I appreciate your and Candace's prayers. Royce passed away in September.
It
was quick, and it was peaceful and heartbreaking. So,
of course.
But I do appreciate y'all's support and still need it. And
of course.
And so as I was thinking about tonight, it's been an amazing journey from beginning to now. But I was just driving along, and all of a sudden the word abandon just, it was like it just exploded in my head. And I had a sense then that at a very deep subconscious level, I have felt abandoned by voice and by God. That,
yeah.
And so it's this thing that people call grieving or whatever. It's being life changing for me in a very healthy way. Not that I would ever want anything to happen to him, but I was thinking about how abandonment really sets up so many issues in our lives. Pat, is there something else you'd like to share?
No, I offer you my deepest condolences. I did not know that Royce had mm-hmm. passed till now. So
yes. Well, thank you.
That is
well,
very
thank
hard.
You.
Yeah.
It is, but it is his health was going to decline, I think, rapidly. And one of the things he always wanted to do was to be able to walk. And for the last probably month and a half when we tried to get him up, his left knee, where he had a knee replacement, it would just crumble.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
he was getting more frightened to even try it. And so when we were in the emergency room during the process of transitioning, I asked him would they x-ray his knee because I'd already called a mobile x-ray company. And so they x-rayed it for me, and they said the knee replacement, all of that had deteriorated and was gone away, and somehow the tibia had gotten fractured. And so I'm so grateful I never had to tell him that the knee would never be strong again, because at his age and his condition, they would never have done a knee replacement. So there was a lot of blessings, and he went ever so gentle and ever so kind. And there's so much to be thankful for.
Of course.
Yes. And so we'll just keep the little stinker in our hearts and keep loving him and appreciating him.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
So, but going back to abandonment, I'm going to mute you, Pat. Okay. Going back to abandonment, and I have known some people that I have worked with, and something as simple as an adult picking them up from school or picking them up at the grocery store or them getting lost can set up a deep-seated root of abandonment. So I believe that it has many arms and eyes, and if any of you have had any experience or healing around abandonment, I would love to hear from you and what you know about yours and how you have worked through it. And what Alex teaches about the opposite of abandonment is kindness. And kindness is gentleness, empathy, friendship, and sympathy. But with so many of the people that I have been honored and blessed to work with, it's about someone who broke a commitment. And it sets up fears, and it sets up you're never safe. It sets up heart issues, brain issues, spinal issues. We don't feel supported. And we're always having the brain issue. We're always having to try to figure it out. Am I safe? Am I going, someone going to show up to pick me up? Or is someone going to hurt me or leave me? And the stress with all of that can be devastating to the human body, as well as to the human spirit and to relationships, because we become very clingy or we become very aloof. But building intimacy is very hard for someone, a very healthy relationship because they're always trying to protect themselves, that they will not be left or they will not be alone. They're safe. They're loved. And kindness, I think, is an instrument of that, but I think integrity and what we promise and what we do is vital to the people that are in our lives, whether they're loved ones, whether they're work associates, whatever part they are in our lives. It's important that we keep our word and that we are kind. And in our social media world, people feel so, apparently they do, they feel so comfortable just saying nasty things about people or airing what I would call the dirty laundry. Anytime you would like to chime in on this, please hit star 2, and I would love to hear your stories or hear your thinking or your beliefs about it and your experience with anything. Because it's a real thing. It's a real deep-seated emotion. And for me, when it came up for me, and if you don't want to hear my personal story, just tell me and I won't. But in that instance of trying to keep my eyes on the road and driving, I had been getting Jesus and Royce's names mixed up. And it was almost like I had interchanged Royce's name and place with Jesus. And I had really been concerned about that. And so when that happened, I got very clear that the one person and the one thing for me that could never abandon me was Jesus. And it has brought a tremendous amount of peace and comfort. And also to know the joy and the health and the completeness of Royce. And I can call his name and not be so confused in my spirit of who I'm really talking to. And I don't think Royce abandoned me either. Well, I know he didn't abandon me. He was called home. He was tired. So any of you that has any comments or anything you would like to share, please hit star 2. Because if you've never had that moment or that experience, do you know someone who has? Or have you ever not kept your commitment with someone? And have you wondered about, we can't be responsible for how people receive relationships, but we can be responsible to do our best in cleaning them up and going back or whatever. But it is a devastating place to live your life at any level. Star 2 to raise your hand. Okay, thank you. 5920 Parkinson, Ohio. Is that Ohio or
Ontario? Probably.
Ontario. Okay. All right. Thank you.
My name's Lori.
Hi, Lori. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, you're speaking of abandonment is really resonating with me tonight. I was gonna call in and ask, like, mention that it seems like every 2 or 3 years, I have a recurring kind of abandonment or violation, like, and it keeps happening, over, you know, and I feel betrayal and things like that. And I don't remember, but when I was 4 months old, I had to have major surgery because I was born with a diaphragmatic hernia. And so I'm wondering if I experienced abandonment from my parents, you know, because I'm sure they would have taken me away. This had been in the 60s and put me in an incubator. Well, they said I was in an incubator. And I'm sure nurses didn't pick up crying babies back then and stuff like that. So I feel like I am powerless. I don't have a voice. And I keep getting betrayed or abandoned. And every couple years, I get a new event happening, and I want this to stop. It's too hard. I'm getting very weary.
Yes, and thank you for sharing it. And I sense that. And there's research about how important it is that the natural parents be able to touch and hold that baby just from the time of conception, birth on. So now, did you ever speak with your parents about being left?
Not really, and they're both gone now. So,
you can still talk to them, and
right.
You can still be healed. So my suggestion would be to journal or draw or write, whatever, just anything that comes up about it, even taking your experiences that you're remembering that are bringing all of this up, because in healing this, you will stop that pattern of repetition.
Right, okay.
And because it feels very real and very true, then going back and being grateful that they did the very best they could do with where they were,
mm-hmm.
and being grateful for the nurses and the doctors who, and even the manufacturers of the tubes and things, and begin to visualize really standing up and rising out of that incubator as an adult.
Okay, when I was 14, the hernia appeared again, so I had to go mm-hmm. to the hospital again, and I experienced a lot of exposure. I felt like I was dehumanized. They just exposed me in front of people, you know. I was 14, and I was sexually molested also by one of the male staff, and so it's really hard for me to be thankful for hospital staff, because I do remember that experience at 14.
So, and I'm not saying that you have to be. What I'm asking you to do is to consider it.
Right, yeah.
Because you don't need any more demands. You need to understand the power within you to heal, forgive, be forgiven, and be safe, regardless of who's with you.
Okay.
And I heard the heaviness in that, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would just, are you working with a coach or a therapist or anything?
No, I do get in on some of the custom guided trilogies, but I'm still just doing it on my own.
Well, I would encourage you, if possible, to work with someone one-on-one so you feel safe,
mm-hmm.
and that that this is stopped. This is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for this darkness and this fear and this paralysis and this exposure. The movie stops in your mind, body, and spirit, and then you begin to look at the things, the great things and the good things and the loving things that have happened in your life. If nothing else, you've survived, and now you want to live. And is your house very dark?
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of light coming?
It's
because
usually,
I just, go ahead.
It's quite dark. There's just the one side, the other side of the house where I don't spend much time. That's where all the sun comes in. there's mm-hmm. kind of like over the staircase, so there's no rooms there.
I encourage you to bring light into your living surroundings.
Okay.
And begin to watch how that light will reflect and use that as a way for your soul to light up. Even, you know, even when you're opening the shades of the blinds or open the doors or whatever, you're opening up the purity and the goodness of you.
Okay. Also, similar to the first caller, I just found out that a friend of mine, she was married 36 years, and her husband took his life, and that was back, like, in June. I just found out because I don't live near, like, I live away from where I grew up, and my brother just told me. And so my heart is going out to her so bad. Like, we never kept in touch, but I remember when she got engaged and she was so happy, and I'm sure they had a good marriage, but he took his life, and I think this whole abandonment thing, that's probably why it's affecting me so much.
Yes, because suicide is the ultimate abandonment for people, loved ones and friends and anyone that will be supporting them. I mean, in my world, that is the peak of hopelessness demonstrated with a life that is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the shock of that.
Yeah.
They say that, and I've read and understand from working with people and that is one of the hardest deaths to process through, because there's just this question, could I have done something? Could I have, did I miss something? Whatever. So we play that game, mental game with that. It's not a game, but we, all of those questions and things, instead of taking a deep breath and really grieving the choice and the consequences of that person's choice.
Right.
And how can I be a better person? So one of the questions might be for you is, how can I support my friend?
Right.
Or even as you are listening to her, start to realize how you feel and what you're thinking and what you would like to do. And is it truly in love, light, and truth? Or is it in fear and darkness and hopelessness?
Right. Is there a particular category in the Healing Codes 1 manual that I could do for my friend?
Well, kindness is abandonment, and really, I'm going to take a deep breath, and what came up for me as you asked me that question was, I would do the Adam's apple.
Okay.
So she can find her voice, and she can find her ability to speak and breathe.
That's really interesting, because for a long time now, for me, that's the position I like the most, because I need a voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you need to breathe.
Because yeah.
Breath will bring life, and life will bring light.
Okay. Is it the nervous system for kindness? Is that
The nerve, yes.
Okay.
The brain, the spinal cord, yes.
Okay. Because I'm experiencing neuropathy as well, like numbness. So I
yes.
think that's the category I need to focus on as well.
And have you been through the 3 days of unforgiveness and the unhealthy behavior and that? Have you done that?
No, I haven't really done that. The unhealthy beliefs and harmful actions. And
yes.
No, I haven't gone through.
I would encourage you to do those first.
Okay, like one each day?
Yes.
Okay.
And you, till you feel that release or you get some sense of what you need to let go of.
Okay.
Or some habits or some thinking that you've been thinking of. And then if you still want to start in, I would encourage you to start through the 12 days and do those and just be aware. And as soon as you can, either journal or record what you think or say, you know, or want to say or want to do. I think it's so important to know what we would like to do or say in a certain circumstances or in a certain memory or certain healing. And I believe it's important for you to know that these are experiences that have been devastating to the spirit, and you're going to choose to heal them in love and light and truth.
Okay, so I have a lot, since this last event where I've been violated again, a lot of memories are coming up from all these other events from the past, so I'm getting lots of memories, and I think they all want to be healed. So I just include them in these prayers every day? Is that, or do I just...
Whatever's coming up the strongest in the moment when you start to do it.
Okay.
Now, something else may come up and heal, and that's perfectly okay. Because what you're searching for is the unhealthy beliefs, the harmful actions, the unforgiveness.
Okay.
So whatever that is, don't try to do anything but and accept it just as that's how it was.
Okay. But
that is not who you are.
Okay. I'm really struggling with the unforgiveness. I thought I did a bunch of forgiveness, but then something comes up and then it's there again. And I really thought I had gone past it. So what is that what you mean when you say it's not me? It's just happening?
It's the memory, it's the experience, and it's holding on, and you're letting it identify you. It's identified you for so long, you think it's part of who you are. And I believe with every ounce of my being, when you reach that point where you can, ever how you visualize these abusers or whatever you think or if you know their names, if you can really wrap them in a blanket of love, you don't have to use your arms, but you're just wrapping them in a blanket of love, like the little helpless baby that was in the incubator.
Yeah.
And that you're going to breathe life into them of love, because as you breathe out this darkness, you bring in light, and you have plenty of breath to give away. You have plenty of love to give away. And you forgive them, and you become whole and pure within you.
How do you get to the point where you are motivated to forgive someone that's abused, that's been abusive?
Because if you don't allow yourself to do that, they are abusing you every day.
Right.
At a subconscious level.
Right. So I can choose to do it sort of for a selfish reason, for my good.
It's not selfish at all.
Okay.
It's who, no, it is not. It's the most loving thing you can do for yourself.
Right. But I don't really care for those people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't have to care for them. You don't even want to be around them.
Right. So
you are doing this to set you free.
I don't understand
so
that you put a blanket around them. Like, I don't know if I can do that. You know what I mean?
Well, then put them in a fire. Wrap them, you know, take a hammer, mentally and beat them to death. Beat the memory to death with, you don't have to be nice and gentle.
Okay.
You are doing it, whatever you feel like doing, do it mentally and emotionally to
okay.
set you free. Your intention is for you to be free.
Right, okay. Okay, that sounds easier because instead of just being nice.
Well, and eventually, no, you weren't being nice. You were extending to them what wasn't extended to you so you could have more of the kindness in you.
Okay.
This is not selfish. This is truly love.
For myself, right?
And,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for yourself. My father sexually abused me, and the last words he ever said to me, I was going to ask him, could I shave him? And he says, no. He says, you would kill me. And I couldn't figure out what in the world he was talking about until later when this truth came out.
Okay.
And came up in my spirit. And my heart bleeds that he was in so much pain.
Right.
And so much darkness. That's what I mean about wrapping them in love and light. You have so much compassion for you that overflows.
Right, because I could never love others as I love myself because I guess I don't love myself.
Amen to that one, yes. Yes. So you're the only person that's going to receive the greatest benefit of all of this is you.
Yeah. But then once I have enough love for me, then I do have the capacity to have it for others.
Yes. You can't give away something you don't have.
Right. Yeah.
And my experience and my belief is that once you can do this, and you can go through this process that you don't send off that vibe that would make someone want to attack you.
Okay. I know
that,
I'm doing that. I know I'm vibrating at this frequency that's bringing it on over and over again. And I need to get out from under that. I need to go get somewhere else vibrationally, you know.
Yeah. Well, you need to always go back to your intention. What is the heart's intention? And your heart intention is for you to be a vibrant ray of love and light.
Okay.
And truth.
Because right now my...
Always check.
Okay. My intention mm-hmm. is to be healed. So it needs to be more than that. I mean, like what you said is...
Yeah, start to name it, start to describe it, begin to feel it. Get out of your head into the darkness that is running your life
okay.
and the energy that it's putting off.
Okay. So when I do this, then, this is like the prayer of intention, and then I do healing codes then and do the, like, go through the categories each day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And just always let your intention be. And you can ask yourself when you feel this coming up, am I in love or am I in fear? And do something like even just take a step forward and say, I choose love.
Yeah, because I do.
I choose.
Yeah. I'm noticing that I am operating out of fear. So
yes.
I don't want to do that. So I just have to.
It's a real fear, and it's really embedded into your very being.
Yeah. I think it probably came on me when my mom was carrying me, because the pregnancy she had before me was a miscarriage, so she was probably fearful that would happen again because I ended up with a birth defect. Like this diaphragmatic hernia is serious. Like it was a 50-50 chance that I would be stillborn or you know, a live birth. And then after that, I had the surgery, and again, 50-50 chance that I would survive the surgery. So I think that it all started when my mom was still carrying me because she was so fearful.
Well, and also, if she did not process the grieving and the loss of the baby, that darkness and that grief was still in her, and that came into your system, too.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. She also when she was 8 years old, her mother passed away in childbirth.
Yeah. So probably there could be this belief that you don't think you have the right to live.
Okay.
And to be alive. And to be happy, and to be loved, and to love.
Okay. I think that might be there a bit.
And it doesn't, what is most important is you know that within your very being, within your cellular memories, you have a darkness and a fear.
Okay.
And as you live life with a consciousness to be love and truth and light, let those lies and those crippling events come up as you are ready to heal them, that they don't throw you off into a deep depression.
Okay. And I think now that I've been doing healing codes for a few years, I guess, fearful that it's not fully healed and it'll come back, because that's sort of what's been happening. It hasn't been completely healed because these things come back.
Well, let me give you a thought to consider. May I?
Okay.
Your fear is not that they're coming back. Your fear is that you will be healed and you will know the truth. And you would have to give love. And you would give forgiveness.
Okay.
And that sounds and feels so frightening and so overwhelming.
Okay.
It's better to stay in the status quo and say, I won't or I do, instead of being intentionally pure on your healing.
Okay.
Take a deep breath into that and see how you feel and what comes up or what you feel or think.
Well, I know that that's quite true, because the thought that came up is my sister is one of the ones that betrayed me the most, and she was my best friend, and it would be really hard to completely forgive her right now. I'm trying.
And then you add all of this. See how the mountain just builds and builds and builds and builds.
And I don't quite understand what you mean.
From the time of conception,
okay,
to the time of birth, and to all of the experiences you had in there. And now it is so personal about and so close to home with your sister,
mm-hmm,
that pushed to forgive her and say, help me understand and I ask you to forgive me and I forgive you for whatever this is. But your love and my love for you is far more important.
I can't talk to her. She doesn't want me in her life and I don't know where she lives. Like, that's how bad it was. Abandoned.
Well, you write her a letter and you put it somewhere that when you see it or think about it or you touch it, I forgive. I forgive to the best of my ability right now.
I'm not at that point. I thought I was a couple years ago, but I'm not anymore. I'm not at the point.
What would you? Would you be willing to get to that point?
Yeah, I do. I am.
Okay. So if you're willing to get to that point, then one of the things I would ask myself is, what is stopping me?
I think I'm afraid she'll hurt me again.
Well, how's she going to hurt you? You don't have any contact with her. It's better to be hurt again and loved than never to live in this state, is it not?
I guess at this point, yeah, it's not good right now.
Yeah. And if you're not ready, you're not ready, but you set an intention that if this is part of your healing, you're willing to go there.
Yeah, I
am. The intention of the heart, mind, body, and spirit is priceless. If it's pure and love and truth, if it's fear, darkness, control, depression, it will take you further down than you ever want to go.
Okay. I think sometimes, though, when I set an intention, it's because it's the right intention to make, but not because it's the one I want to make. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, you need to be in control to feel safe.
Right, okay.
If you let go, then you feel like there's no one to protect you. There's no one to take care of you.
Yeah.
And who would you be?
Yeah.
Who would you be without your stuff?
Right. I don't know because I don't have that identity.
Yeah. But you begin to feel it. You begin to picture it or draw it or bring something into your life that is draws you to that place of complete peace inside.
Okay. I can set an intention for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how does that feel?
It feels lighter.
Yeah.
And brighter.
Hmm. I sense the energy around your head just released a whole lot around your temples.
Okay.
And your voice got softer. It's not so defensive. So begin to notice those things for yourself. And just be patient and kind and say, this feels good. How, if this is moving me into love, light, and truth, I'm asking for more.
Right, yeah.
And I'm receiving more. I think I receive, I choose, yes or no. All of those are just powerful things to say to ourselves.
Okay.
And thank you for sharing. Anything else you would like to share?
I think that's enough. That's quite a bit.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Now, do you have, I have just, if you are not going to use a facilitator or a coach or something, I would encourage you to get, do you have a friend that you really trust that would stand in the gap for you and love you and be there for you regardless of what happens?
Not at the moment.
Okay. So would you be open for that person to come into your life?
Yeah, I am, a little bit. I've been burned a lot by people, so.
So notice what happens to your energy when you go from receiving that to you want to stop it.
Right, yeah. Because I'm afraid I'm going to be exposed again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
one of the, and this may or may not work for you, but just like standing in the shower and just letting the shower come on the top of your head and let that warm water just flow all over you. And it's washing away the fear and the darkness. And then just run around naked for 30 or 40 minutes and just expose yourself to life.
Okay. I'll consider that.
Anything you can do to get the energy moving in a positive way. And if there's anyone else that's on the call, please hit star 2 of any suggestions or experiences that you've had. This is one of us that is on the journey, and we all have value that we can support her with. Okay. And we can all pray, and we, hold on just a second, Candace is. All right, Miss Candace, you are unmuted, my friend.
Hi. As she was speaking, I was thinking of, depending upon maybe how much light she has in her room, maybe she could get like a small plant, because, you know, a plant likes to have light. And I was thinking to maybe, and then when I had felt abandonment, I felt like God was not there with me. I, you know, sometimes taking a deep breath, you know, taking a deep couple of breaths, breathing in and out, you know, making sure I'm getting my plenty of water, maybe just sipping on a cup of green tea, you know, just thinking of things that, you know, maybe the Bible or good devotional book, things that will, or maybe she likes, maybe she like a, how maybe a good book that lady prefers to read, something like that, and just surrounding herself with positive things, I think that would help her.
And I would, Candace, I would change that word positive to loving.
Yes, loving, exactly.
And loving will take you to your spirit, where positive will keep you in your brain.
That's right, exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Anyone else? And Laura, do you have anything? Wait, hold on. Are you doing, hon?
I'm just listening. I also recently got the Whole Tones music, and I'm listening to that. The Key of David and that kind of thing.
Yes. Pat, you are open.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's pretty self-evident because this lady has been doing the codes for many years, but I just want to reiterate that I find nothing more appealing in life than doing the codes. So that's all I have to contribute, really. Just, you know, go
okay.
through the categories and do it, you know, each category and go through them, all 12 of them with your issues and see if you don't see a miracle. I mean,
yeah, I really feel like
just,
God is coming in and these memories are coming up because it's time. It's time to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Yes. Yes.
So
and
is, I
you
mean,
are worth
people,
it.
yeah. It may be very uncomfortable, but this is the time. This is your time to, you know, get rid of these things. That they come up to the surface to be looked at and to be acknowledged and healed and then released. And then you can go forward.
Right.
And I know that's the truth because I get a lot of memories, too, when I code. And they're really, they have been, like, stuffed down for years. And sometimes I'll get them in little bits and I'll think that it's healed and then they come back and it's healed more. It's a process, but it is a very healing process to have the codes to rely on to bring you that positive energy. The reason they're coming up is you are doing the codes and you're bringing the strength into yourself to remember them and to heal them. Without the energy from the codes, you know, God knows what symptoms you'd have. But the fact that they're coming to consciousness is a miracle of grace and healing. And I remember once years ago, it was before the codes, but I was in therapy at the time, and my uncle was driving me back to the airport. I had been to California to go to a cousin's wedding, and I was telling him different issues of mine, and I was just crying in the car. And he said, you know, if I could cry like that, I'd throw a ticker tape parade, he said, because he had been in therapy and he couldn't get to any feelings at all. So the fact that, you know, you're having all these feelings and memories is a very good sign, and I congratulate you for them. And I know it's not easy, but that's the thing. Well, they're painful and they're not easy to get through, but the fact that they're there is, yeah. You know, people pay hundreds, thousands of dollars in therapy to get to these things that they're having come up now. This is, like, good.
Yeah, I know that it's a good thing. It's
it's painful. It's so painful. But these are the good. These are the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to them, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
So good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I would encourage you to really look and be open to someone coming in and supporting you and loving you during death.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that's knowing that you can be trusted in a relationship, and they are integrative enough to stand and go through the path with you.
Yeah. Well,
and your spirit. Yeah.
I'm getting
your spirit will tell you when.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, participating in these coaching calls is helping me put myself out there, you know, and feel like a part of a community.
And you are.
Yeah.
And welcome. And we, yeah. And I guess what my sense is that to have someone, and this is a great first step, but to have someone you can call and say, let's have a cup of coffee, or let's just go do something fun for the day, or go to a movie, someone that is there to walk beside you. And this environment and this community of the Healing Codes is a great place to begin that journey.
Yeah.
Well, it is 9:41 Eastern Time, and I certainly, it's always a blessing, and I thank y'all for listening to my story and my journey, too, and I appreciate y'all's love and prayers, and we are all in it together, and I haven't met any perfect people yet, so your story matters.
Mm-hmm.
And your journey, your story matters. And I had some mentors once said, you know, listen, if you're telling your story more than three times, it is who you believe you are. But if you can tell it and then you take a step into love and truth and light, then your story is an experience and it no longer controls you.
Okay. Yeah.
So is there anyone else, anything anyone would like to say? I'm going to mute someone because we have some dishes somewhere. Okay. All right. So in closing tonight, let's all take a deep breath. And first, send love and gratitude and peace to everyone on this call tonight. And for all of those who will listen in the future. and they would become a light that has a purity and a sincerity and a love and a compassion about it, that we are at peace and would go forth and extend kindness and compassion and peace to those we meet anywhere, anytime, any place. God bless you. Thank you for joining tonight. I'm going to unmute us. Well, I thought I was going to unmute us, and I just, man, I'm having fun with this computer tonight. Ta-da! Da-da! One more. Now we're all unmuted. Yay, Linda. So if you want to say good night or send love energy to the entire world, this is your great opportunity. You're on the stage of life.
Love to all and blessings and many thanks to you, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who participated. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, ladies, for participating tonight, and you all be in my prayers, and I will be doing the codes for all of you. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Stay in the ladies. You all know the codes
work.
They work, and don't give up. God's there with you every day, every moment, every second. He loves you. Good night.
Good night.
Good
thank
night.
You so much, Candy.
Thank
good night.
You.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.